So hello and welcome to our third for this season of ERC, our elite calls for content. And as you know, there's seven extra content modules and we get to do them together once a month. And I do these calls to help you to actually do them, because when they're self-paced and they're on the site, they kind of just like fall through the wayside, right? So this helps you to know that it's there. And I'm going to share my screen and show you that this month's is all about muscle and bone and musculoskeletal system, basically. Our person that used to work for us and put together our membership sites loved alliteration and loved to make acronyms. So she made it called Muscle Alignment and Bone, and her shortcut to it was MAB. I don't know what that is supposed to be. It doesn't ring a bell to me, but I would have called it the musculoskeletal system. So it's basically your musculoskeletal system. And we're here to talk about how do you keep track of that. And when we're under stress, what happens to your shoulders, right? What happens to your neck, right? Your whole body tightens up. And there's things that you can do and want to be able to know how to do in order to be healthy and happy and strong. So we're going to look at how to keep your muscles and toned and strong. We're going to look at the secret to healthy and happy bones. And we're going to talk about bone health and bone strength and posture and alignment and some of the hands-on therapies that you can use. Some of you have heard me talk about and even demonstrate using an ultrasound machine. And I'll show you what that is and why that's important for bone health, muscle health. And not important that everybody needs one, but if you have some muscle issues, then that's what you want to do. So this is muscle and bone alignment. And I'm going to show you what we have in terms of the presentation, and highly encourage you to watch the presentation. Let me see how long it is. Most of these are somewhere around an hour. Some of them are a little shorter. Some of them are a little longer. Let's just see.
Hello.
57 minutes. So really close to an hour. And basically I'm talking in here to give you some background about, you know, what is the structural part of our body. A lot of times we spend talking about digestion and blood sugar and immune system, and those are all functional parts. They're physical aspects of the body, but they're not the actual, like, you can't stand up your immune system and let it like just free stand, right? You can't do that to your blood sugar matter, your hormones. They're all over. But this is the physical, this is what gives you the shape. So muscles and all the things that hold the bones and all the things that hold the bones together, which are called ligaments. They are attaching one bone to another. And then there's the muscles, and the things that attach muscles to bones are called tendons. And when you have an injury or an area of pain, it could be a problem in any one of these areas. It could be a bony thing. There could actually be bruising on the bone, and that's very painful. There could be obviously broken bones. We can have problems with the ligaments. Some of you have sprained an ankle. Who's ever sprained an ankle or a wrist or something, right? And then that's basically those little ligaments that hold the bones together. And those are not contractile like muscles. Muscles are, they contract, they relax, and that, like, okay, I shorten. This muscle is shortening, and then it's lengthening, shorten, lengthening. With the ligaments, they don't have as much elasticity to them. And they're a little bit harder to heal than muscles. So, but the ligaments hold them together. So you'll see ligaments in between holding them all together. And then the muscles. And the muscles are what move the bone. In order your skeleton just hangs there, right? Until you put the muscles on it. You put the muscles on it, you can hold erect and then you can move. But we're really just moving our bones, right? When we move our arms and our legs, it's just sending a message from the brain and it's sending a signal to the muscles to contract to move the bones. Right. So that's an overview of what it is. And when we're looking at what's going on and say you have a problem and we're trying to isolate what it is, you know, it could be presenting as stiffness or pain or loss of range of motion. Ever have an injury? When I broke my arm, that was as far as I could bend it. I couldn't bend it any further. I had loss of range of motion. Of course, I had a lot of pain as well. Weakness, right? If you strain a muscle. So a ligamentous tear is called a sprain, S-P-R-A-I-N, and a strain of the muscle is when you have a strain, an injury to the muscle. So strain versus sprain. And then fractures. Who's ever had a fracture? Anybody? Yeah, I've had them a couple of times. Good for you, Sandra. So when we're looking at, you know, if I have somebody comes to me and says, I have this issue, I've even done it on some of these calls where I'll say, okay, move this. So we look at your posture and your alignment. If you come to me and say, my neck hurts and you're standing like this, right? I'm thinking that there's a problem on this side of the neck and you're not allowing it to stretch because you're shortening it down. Because if you go like this, it stretches it and that would hurt. So then I would take you through looking at that posture and the alignment and getting some ideas and then having you move. So, you know, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And that's what most doctors are trained to do, to try to identify, why do I have this pain right here? And what structures are involved? Is it a muscle? Is it a tendon? Is it a bone? And there's other things called bursa that are little capsules that cushion the bones from each other. You can also look at problems with blood tests. There's certain blood test markers that will give you an indication if there's a problem with bone. And there's also bone density tests. And most people over the age of 50, they usually start to say, get a bone density test and get that done. I have never had one, so I don't know what my bone density is. I have no idea. I just don't go to doctors. I don't do bone density tests. I don't do mammograms. I don't do pap smears. That doesn't mean that that's not right for anybody else, but I personally don't do them. So I've never had a bone density, but it's basically looking at your bone should be a certain density. When you look at it on an x-ray, you'll see the whiteness is the density. And when that whiteness starts to decrease and it's more porous, then that means that your bone density is going down. So those are ways that we can look at to see if you indeed have a problem. So if we look at nutrients that are required for good muscle, we need a balance between magnesium and calcium. Calcium contracts, muscle relaxes. And this happens on a very minute level inside the muscle in these little contractile units within each muscle. So calcium contracts, magnesium relaxes. If you have too much calcium and not enough magnesium, you may have this stiffness, like your muscle feels like it's contracted all the time. And if it's too lax and, you know, you're just kind of a bag of bones, then maybe you have too little calcium and not enough and too much magnesium. Potassium is involved in electrolyte balance within there and the electrical pulses and currents that cause the, you know, the combination between the nerve saying move and then the muscle moving, right? And there's these fibrils and things that overlap. I don't need to go into a whole 3-hour anatomy physiology of the muscle, but it's important stuff to just know that those are important nutrients for those areas. Amino acids that are important, especially in building collagen tissue, right? Proline, hydroxyproline, leucine, and isoleucine. Chondroitin. Chondroitin is a substance. You might have heard of it in certain supplements like chondroitin sulfate, and that's like the lubrication piece at certain of the joints where things come together, especially in the spine. And glucosamine, same, they work together. Vitamin C is super important. It's an anti-inflammatory in some regards, but it also just helps with overall feeding the musculoskeletal system. And manganese is important for healing collagen. So it's another thing that's important when we have a muscle tear, an injury, right? Extra of these amino acids plus manganese are really important, plus the vitamin C to bring the inflammation down. So when you have an injury and when you have an inflammation in your body, you know, you go to the doctor and they say, here's some anti-inflammatories, or here's some muscle relaxants, or here's some painkillers. And in reality, you can do a lot of this with the nutrients. Like if your nutrients are out of balance, what do you use to heal and support? When I had surgery for a broken arm, I had broken this arm about 5 years ago. I can't believe it's that long ago. It was a really bad break. And one of the bones that I broke was part of this humerus over here. The end part of it actually popped off and disconnected and was sitting in the front, right? And it had this bump here and I couldn't move my arm. And for 3 weeks, I was like, oh, it's just sprained. No problem. It's sprained. And I got it x-rayed and I realized I had to have surgery because there was no way that little piece of bone was going to make it back where it belonged without somebody going in and cutting me open and moving it. I had to do that. But I decided I don't want anesthesia because I didn't want to be put out. So I told them, I'm just going to do it with a local. And they said, well, don't you want some Valium or something to be relaxed? I said, no, I have my ways. So I took a bunch of nutrients before going in, cleared it with the anesthesiologist that none of it was going to be a problem if they did have to put me under because there was an emergency. And he said, don't take vitamin C within 12 hours. Don't take fat fish oils or omega-3s within 12 hours, but you can take these other things, and herbs were fine. So I took a bunch of stuff. I took some, you know, whatever I tested myself for that relaxed me and calmed me. And I just had a nice conversation with the anesthesiologist throughout my surgery. But afterwards, I knew there would be pain. They did a local block. Obviously, I'm not, you know, some sort of Hulk that doesn't have pain fibers. They did a local shot in my shoulder to the nerves that supplied the arm. And it was completely numb for a good 12 hours. And I knew that once it came back, I was going to have to deal with the pain. And so I had it all lined up. I had the turmeric and the ginger, and I took a jar like this and I filled it up with ginger juice and turmeric juice and vitamin C. I did really well until about 30 hours later, and the pain was excruciating, and it just wasn't enough. The natural stuff just wasn't enough. And I knew I needed to sleep, because sleeping is when you heal, but I knew I couldn't sleep with the pain. And so I finally took like a Tylenol or an Advil, and I had not taken an Advil or a Tylenol in 30 years. It had been a long time. So because I hadn't, my body wasn't used to that being in the system. It was like, whoa. And it was enough to knock me out, got the pain down, knocked me out. And that was the extent of my pain medication. And then I continued to do these other things, all the nutrients, but also some of the therapies that I'm going to show you that really work well for helping with pain management and musculoskeletal stuff. So alignment and posture, right? It's super important, right? You look at this person here. If you hang out in that position for a long time, you're going to get strain down here. You're going to have a poochy abdomen. So it's really important that you stand up straight. And we have some cases that we talk about in there about alignment. But the muscles are what move the bones. And a lot of times, I mean, I've been trained as a chiropractor. I practice as a chiropractor. But I'm not a big fan of the theory that the bone alignment is the most important thing. How do the bones get in and out of alignment? The muscles. Yes, you have to get the muscles, the bones back in alignment, but the muscles actually facilitate that. So we have to work on the muscles as well. So really, really, really important.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Would you really consider the person on the left has good posture?
I would say she has better posture.
Okay.
Yeah, I think see right here, she's like, a little bit too far angled this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this, look at this. I mean, this
no,
is...
No. Yeah. That's super clear, but it's just one image.
Yeah, I don't think it's excellent posture, no. Okay. What we should be looking for excellent posture, when I look at it, it's like a plumb line, call it a plumb line. Yeah,
that's what so I was thinking.
It should be like the ear in alignment with the shoulder, in alignment with the hip joint. And so you're upright. I don't know if I'm doing it right either, but... and then that's it. And when I'm looking at people, I'm looking at them this way. I'm looking for... you know, alignment here, right? Alignment of the shoulders, alignment of the hips. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at. And I always, always, whenever I've done an evaluation, a postural evaluation, I have a picture, just a skeleton kind of picture, and I just draw the person, and I maybe draw them this way and this way and this way. So then I can talk to them about, well, look, this is angled this way. This probably means that either this muscle's weak or this muscle's tight or vice versa. And when you look at the body that way, you have a lot more action steps that you can do based on what you see, rather than a lot of chiropractors, not dissing anybody in my profession. There's a lot of amazing chiropractors, but there's a lot out there who you just go in and they just say, oh, look, this is out of plumb, bum, 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 next, bum, 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 next. That's not doing you long-term good, right? That's important to put the bones back into alignment, but it's super important to see why the bones went out of alignment in the first place. Root cause analysis, right? Is this person just walking around like, I used to walk like that. You know why? I was a teenager. I had acne and I had big boobs. And I wanted to cover up my boobs and cover up my face. So I used to walk around like this so nobody would see my face or my boobs, right? And that was not good. And I had bad posture for a long time. And I finally, probably about 10 years ago, went to see somebody who did Rolfing. And she was really cool because she did a combination of energy work and Rolfing. So she'd get me all in this blissful state. And then she'd go in and like rip apart my fascia. But what happened is she opened up this area. And now all the time people say to me, wow, you have the best posture. And I didn't used to. So it's correctable, but it takes some time. It takes some work to get the muscles are tight in the front from me doing this, right? I had to get that all worked out. Good question. Thank you. So this is what your spine looks like. And we have different names for the different sections. If this is TMI, you can just ignore it. But cervical, thoracic, lumbar, and then this is your sacrum here. And then this is like off of your spinal cord, runs through here. And then this is what they call the cauda equina. It's like a horse's tail. And that's all these different nerves that then come down and supply the lower extremity. So if you're having pain in your leg, it could be that you injured your leg, but it could be that you injured one of these areas in your spine and there's pressure being put on that nerve that's going down to the leg. And it's the part of a good practitioner to be able to help you to figure out why. Because there's people that walk around thinking that they just have to massage their leg and all along they've had a spinal issue. And we don't want nerve compression to go on for a long period of time, because the nerves will die and they take a long time to heal if they can heal. So that's basically what you look like on the inside. Here's a cool part. Like, I mean, if you're interested, you can print this off so you get an idea of it. But if you have pain in certain areas and it maps out to this kind of an orientation, it could be related to that nerve. So like your C2, anywhere in your neck and upper chest, right? Your C7 is down here in your arm. Even though C7 is up here, right, in your neck, it's because of where the nerve supply comes. So if you're having some weird distribution of pain along some of these lines, it could be that there is some nerve compression or nerve irritation or inflammation. This is important because if you've ever had shingles, you know that it follows a nerve root because it's actually a virus that lives inside the spinal nerve. And it causes a tingling pain rash along that pain. So you see how these are coming around? Like, see, this says T6. There it is. So you can really impress your family members. If somebody's like telling you, I have this itch and look, I have this rash and look at it, you can look at this picture and go, oh, you probably have a herpes outbreak, a shingles outbreak. And shingles is herpes zoster. You probably have a shingles outbreak and it's at the T8 level. And sometimes it should always be part of healing a shingles outbreak, but sometimes just getting that spinal nerve adjusted and back into place helps you to get over it. So as part of it, if you ever have shingles and it's in your spine areas, so all those areas there, then I would say it's a really good idea to go to a chiropractor and get an adjustment, because that can really facilitate your healing. This is a really cool chart. Again, it's loaded with information, but it basically shows you, again, probably TMI, probably a good chart for practitioner training, but I know you guys like to know this stuff. And I think it's empowering to be able to have a chart like this just in your files somewhere where you're trying to figure something out and you know, oh, wow, look, I'm having a problem in, you know, let's see, I can hardly read it because it's small. My spleen, right? If the doctor says, oh, your spleen, whatever, it could be related to your T8, right? And vice versa. So it's just a nice chart that will show you that if you have specific symptoms, what level of your spine it could be associated with. And as part of your healing, as part of doing nutrition and herbs and heart math, part of that might be getting that particular area in your spine aligned. And then we're going to talk a little bit about muscle therapies. And this is like a close-up of what the muscle layers look like. But you know, if you're having a lot of neck pain, really important to get some work done to relieve that. So let me show you some of the things, and we talk about more of this in there. There's something called a trigger point. Has anybody ever heard of a trigger point or had a trigger point? Yes, where you press on a certain spot and you feel it at a spot that's far away from that, like down your arm or into your neck. And so a lot of times when we're trying to figure out what's going on, somebody says, I just have this pain. It's right here. And I'll see, well, it doesn't seem to be related to the spinal nerve. What could it be? And we poke around. And then they yell out that's happening. So that one's very close to where the area of distribution of pain is right there. But sometimes they're far away. And there's a trigger point, I think a referral chart here, right, that shows you some of the ones that have that. Now with trigger points, sometimes you could just do yourself if you can press hard enough, or you can have a family member that doesn't like you too much, press on it and make you cry. But you hold it, you can hold it for 10 seconds and it's called ischemic compression. You want to starve it of blood supply for 10 seconds or so, and sometimes it just releases. Other ways that we can get rid of it is with an ultrasound machine. I highly recommend you don't do that on yourself, that you do it with a practitioner doing that, that knows what they're doing. But also they have this thing called spray and stretch, ice, like putting ice over the trigger point can sometimes cause that pain to go away. There's a really great book, and I give you a reference on the page too. And it's a book you can buy on Amazon, and it's on trigger points, treating your own trigger points. And it's a really cool book. And I found out about it from a patient of mine years ago who we were having great success with treating certain areas, but she could only get in a couple of times a month. And so she came in with one time with this book. She goes, look, I found this book and now I'm able to do this on myself. So I'll show you what that is. So in order to keep from getting stiffening, like if people who have pain when you first wake up in the morning and then it gets better throughout the day, that's usually, not 100%, usually a joint problem, a stiffness in the joint, because the joints haven't been moving overnight. They've been stuck. And once you get them up and moving, you get rid of it. So that's like an arthritic type pain. But if you have pain on movement, right, it's usually a muscle. If it's active movement, so if I lift this, I don't have a heavy jar, but I have this. If I lift this and I go, oh, that causes pain. And then I have somebody that passively moves it, or I move it myself this way, but it doesn't hurt. Then I'm going to say, oh, it's in my muscle. And why am I teaching you this stuff? Because it's a good thing to know if you're having problems, because you can self-help yourself a lot. Of course, if you have an emergency, if you think you have a broken bone, if there's bleeding and like thread-like blood, you get it hurt in an area, but then you see like bruising coming down, you really should get it checked out. That's something called compartment syndrome. So you really want to keep things moving, but that can help you identify whether it's in the muscle and maybe you just get in there and really rub it out, or if it's in the joint and maybe there's a ligamentous tear and needs to be addressed differently. Make sense? So weight-bearing exercise really strengthens your bone, right? So if you're standing up and you're lifting weights, or you're walking with a backpack on, that's going to help strengthen your bone. As opposed to passive exercise, just non-weight bearing, like just flipping your arms around like this without a weight, that's not necessarily going to strengthen your bone. So we want a combination of exercises that builds the muscles that also strengthens the bones. There are certain yoga poses, and Karen Osborne teaches them. She does, she's been certified in yoga for bone health. And there's certain yoga poses that you hold them in a certain way and you hold it for a certain length of time. I think she said more than 18 seconds. And that actually has been shown to strengthen the bone. Okay. So what about osteoporosis? Anybody here have diagnosed or afraid of osteopenia, osteoporosis? No? Good. So far, so good. So if you look here, this is a healthy bone. You see all this tan stuff? That's the bone matrix. These are the
hollows. Yeah, I have osteopenia.
Osteopenia. Right. So there's stuff that, you know, which we've already talked about that you can do to help prevent it and reverse it. So you see how big the holes are in between the bone space? And when you look at the bone, this looks nice and healthy. It's just the right amount of porousness, but this is a lot more. That's why it's called osteoporosis, porous osteo, and osteo is bone, right? So we have in the Eating for Bone Health guide, there's a video that shows you how to make foods and talks to you all about these nutrients. And it's linked right on this page. So bone metabolism, we talk all about that and the different nutrients, and thyroid can be involved. Eating gluten can soften the bones. It's been shown to cause osteoporosis. And these are all the foods to avoid, right? Bone building minerals. So this is a list, and this is just all the minerals and the normal doses that help to support bone. Does this mean you should go out and buy all these nutrients? No, but you should make sure that your food is containing all the nutrients that you need. It's not just calcium. And that's the big mistake that most people make, including a lot of doctors. They say, oh, you just need to eat more calcium. And people are taking like 1500 to 2000 milligrams a day of calcium, and they don't necessarily need it. So there's, look at them, look at all these nutrients. There's a lot, right? And a lot of these you can get from foods, which I give you a list of, and you can go into the nutrients section in the nutrition part, the nutrition pillar, which is the D, the fifth one in the Body Freedom. And you can learn like, oh, I think I need more of whatever nutrient it is. These are my favorite herbs for bone building. I've made combination formulas for people, nettles, horsetail, alfalfa. Those are my three tops, oat straw sometimes, red raspberry, peppermint, and red clover. And you can grind the dry herbs. You can put them into your food. You can throw them in smoothies. These three, the nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, and even the oat straw, don't taste like much of anything. The others have a little bit of a flavor to them. But you can get rid, you can put these in everything. So you can take any pate recipe or soup recipe or dip recipe that you like, and you just mix these things in to increase the bone building, right? And peppermint is good in desserts, right? Chocolate peppermint, who doesn't like, I love chocolate mint. It's yummy. So you can grind a week's supply, you can store in a dark container, and you can keep it by where you put things and just use it as an herb, use them as an herb. So some of the foods, there have been lots and lots of studies on prunes, and I know they may be high glycemic, but bear me out. These studies have shown that 100 grams of dried prunes is about 9 to 10 prunes, has just over the course of time completely reversed osteoporosis. That's what his studies are showing. Now you have to find out if your blood sugar will tolerate them. Quite frankly, ever since I started testing my blood sugar, I haven't tried prunes to see. I just kind of have just stayed away from any dried fruits, but I used to eat a lot of them. So I think it's worth a try if you have osteopenia, just to see if there's a tolerance level for you where you can get the benefits of prunes without. There's also the green leafy vegetables, which we talk about all the time. Sesame and pumpkin seeds are especially high in the bone building nutrients, as are almonds. And of course, sea vegetables, right? I just keep the same thing, a container of sea vegetables, and put them into everything. Avocado, which I don't, you don't have to force me to do anything to eat avocado. I love avocado, and my cruciferous I do every day, and broccoli sprouts and chia seeds. So the only two on this list that I don't eat on a regular basis are the prunes and the figs. And you probably don't need to if you get substantial amounts of the other ones. And where? Oh yeah. So check out the Eating for Bone Health, and that's going to give you some good support. Now going back to this page. So there's your video. And then there's your action steps, right? So here's a guide. And it'll give you, you know, just a step-by-step through everything that was in that, on that page, in the video, and what you can do. So, you know, checking your posture, checking your neck for tightness and what kind of things give it relief. I really love having home equipment, and I found this, well, actually somebody gave me, but they never told me who they were. This machine that's like it feels like a gun, and it has a thing at the end, and you hold it up to your muscles and it massages your muscles. And the other day I woke up and I found that I was sleeping on my stomach for quite a while before I woke up. And when I do that, my neck is all stiff and my shoulders all stiff, and I could feel it on one side of my head. So I took the thing out and I did it, and within 5 or 10 minutes, I felt fine again. So there's lots of things you can do. There's the video for Eating for Bone Health, and there's the booklet for Eating for Bone Health. So make sure you go through those. Let's see. There's a bone assessment. So based on your risk factors, how high is your risk? And it's in a PDF, or it's on here. So if I click here, it will be, right, you can take the bone assessment, you can do the online version of it, and just get a score of, you know, what kind of risk factors do you have for bones being out of alignment. Avoid the bone weakening foods, and we have a click here to download them. It's a list, and this was all the stuff, oh, that's in the Eating for Bone Health. Alkaline diet, when your blood goes to acidic, your body tries to alkalize it. And the way it does that is it drags out some of these minerals from, guess what? The bone, right? So you want to eat an alkaline diet. And then we have, there's a section in the Eating for Bone Health on the alkaline diet. And there's a whole section in another part of the program, in the diet part, that's all about alkaline diets. And so you could do that. Here's some of the bone boosting recipes. And I think these are, yeah, just little videos. A bunch of different recipes. What's this one? Bones don't crack crackers. How's that? And you can watch us make this, and Karen and I. All right. So you've got all those recipes, and those recipes are in the recipe guide that's up here, up further. Exercise Your Way. So Strong Women Stay Young is one of my best, my favorite books. And it gives you a set of exercises you can do at home where it's sick. You only have to do 20 minutes a day, and it gives you upper body and lower body. And you're using weights, where, you know, dumbbells. And you're also using ankle weights. And so I have these little things that I wear around my ankles, and they have different weights that you can put into them, and you do exercise. I haven't been doing them for a while, and I want to learn how to do it. So if you go into here, I think there's a video on it. Oh, like here, dumbbell presses and hand walk. And what did it say here? Oh, just a lot of exercises there. So you can go there and just learn a few little exercises. Eating for Bone Health Guide again, Progress Journal, and then some additional stuff. And I put links where this is the book. I highly recommend you get it. The Trigger Point Therapy Workbook. Acupuncture Ear Seeds, which we talk about in the last section, the Touch for Health book, same thing I talked about in the last section, but I put them here as well. Acupuncture Charts, Korean Hand Record, Craniosacral, and Ultrasound Unit and Other Muscle Therapies. So between last month, which we talked about a lot of the energetics and the ultrasounds and all that, and this month's, you've got a lot of information about how to keep your musculoskeletal system healthy. And that's all I have. Do we have any questions or comments? Yeah? Yeah. Go ahead, Diana.
What do you do about discs?
What do we do about discs? Great questions. Not something you necessarily fix at home.
Yeah. Is there any nutrients or exercises?
The chondroitin and the glucosamine. All of the stuff that it's collagen there. So we want to talk about the ones I talked about, hydroxyproline, proline, that some of those new supplements that have those bone building nutrients in them. As far as discs are concerned, it's compression. So you've got a disc between your vertebrae, and there's supposed to be a certain amount of space. And sometimes it shrinks because bad posture, you know, that collagen breaks down, and then we get those discs pressing against nerves. And so anything that can stretch it. So traction is awesome. There are some units you can get at home. I've not used any of the home units. I have a special table. See if you can see it. It's covered by a bunch of stuff because I haven't used it in a while. But that table over there is, you can't really see it. It's called the flexion distraction table. And basically I can put someone on the table and the bottom part of the table will go up and down and I can control it. So I can put that disc level where we're having a problem right over the space. And then I do some ultrasound and I do some muscle therapy, put some heat over it, maybe some acupuncture. And then we just do this traction where I'm leaning against the bottom part of the table to pull it this way. And with it, it opens up the space. I will tell you that I have had the best results using that traction table. And if anybody that has a disc problem, check out and find a therapist, a chiropractor, an osteopath who does Cox flexion distraction therapy, COX. It's just amazing. I had this guy who was, he was actually a salesperson. We were building a pool in my house in California many, many decades ago. And he was just sitting, he came in this cast around his body. I'm like, what's the heck's going on? I've had disc surgery and I think I'm going to have another one. And I talked to him and I said, wow, have you ever had Cox flexion distraction? He said, no. Well, he came in to see me in the office. Mm. And 2 weeks later, he was playing golf again. Oh. I told him he shouldn't be. I told him he should wait at least a month. But it was phenomenal. Then I had another situation where one of our neighbors said, oh, my daughter's boyfriend, and he's having all this problem and he can barely walk. And I have my office is upstairs. So hi, Rich, he climbs up the stairs and he hobbles in and he's in so much pain. And I get him on the table and I do my thing. I do the combination of the ultrasound and the heat and the whole bit and acupuncture. And then I do the traction and he stands up. He didn't know what to expect. He was like 90% better. He just hobbled down the stairs. So I've had that happen. I thought he was going to need surgery because he showed me his MRI and it wasn't just the disc was bulging, but a piece of it had come out and was pressing on the nerve. And I said, this is actually one of those cases where I don't know that I can really help. I think you might need surgery because, and he goes, I don't want surgery. Try. So he came in for about 3 visits and I told him it's probably going to be 3 times a week for a few weeks to get this under control. If it doesn't get better, it's not 50% better in a week and 75%, then I really can't help you because that's how well this works. He came in for 2 weeks and he was fine. Like no pain anymore. So much so, 2 years later, I see him at a birthday party for one of our kids. And it was one of those parties that were in a place that they had trampolines for the kids. I see this guy doing flips on the trampoline and I'm freaking out like, you're doing it! Because I'm fine. Never had a problem with it again. So it's just worth a try. It works phenomenally. And this guy, Dr. Cox, came up with this protocol. And it's not just a matter of put him on the table, flip. You have to do all the pieces. You have to press on the acupressure points. You have to do some of the ultrasound, do some of the muscle work to loosen things up. But I've had phenomenal results with it. So if you have some problems with that or you know somebody that does, it's certainly worth a Cox flexion distraction. As far as traction yourself, you know, you can do things where you're hanging yourself over a table but you got to be super careful because one false move and, you know, you don't want the disc to burst. That's my biggest concern with it. The neck's a little easier for traction. Like if you have a problem with the disc in your neck, you can do traction. There's some units that you can use. You can see them online and some of them hang in the doorway, which looks kind of scary to me because it's, you know, looks like you're going to hang yourself, but you're not. And then there's another one I got that you like put it on a door or the bottom of a doorway, whatever, and you just lean back and it pulls. So there's ways to do it. Traction machines for the neck are easier to facilitate on your own than for the low back.
Do you think that might help with regards to my L4, L5 is forward about 50%? And I have numbness on the outside of my ankles, on the top of my feet, and it's constant. And it's been like that for probably, I'm going to say, 5 years. I used to be a big runner.
Yeah. That's called an anterolisthesis. So this is how they should be aligning. Yep. If it's pushed forward like that, it's too far forward and it's pulling. Like see that hole that is made here?
Right.
Think about that's where the nerve comes out. Now your vertebrae is pushed this way. That nerve is being crimped in that space. Have you seen a chiropractor about it?
I've seen a doctor about it. He said, well, if you're not having pain, I wouldn't worry about it.
If you're having numbness, it's worse than pain. So it's not worry about it. It's do something about it. They aren't trained. I have MD friends who ask me questions all the time about what should I do about this or what should I do about that? Because they're not trained in orthopedics in that. So a chiropractor or an osteopath who is trained in those kind of therapies. But you know, the Cox technique, he uses it for stenosis and I have too. I've used it with people. I would look on the Cox website, Cox Flexion Distraction, and see if there's somebody in your area that you can go to. It really helps to get somebody who's certified or trained because they know how to put all that stuff together.
Right.
Right. You just don't want to go to a chiropractor who says, here, get it right on the table. Let me get that fixed and boom. It could make it worse. Right. Not to say that those kind of adjustments, I do them and they work, but you got to be careful who you do them on.
Well, I've got away from the running because that seemed to have brought it on. I remember brought it on 10 years ago when I was doing some, hard surfaces and I noticed numbness, but it went right away. But now in the last 5 years, I've got it constantly. So I used to do the little mini trampolines. Now, would you recommend doing that instead of hard pavement?
It's better. Yeah. See how it feels. We always have to go with how it feels. Right. But the hard pavement is boom. It's boom. It's boom. Yeah. That's really hard on your discs. It is.
It's not going to make it any worse doing it on just a little trampoline. In other words, the compaction.
I'd be careful about your posture.
Right.
And you're not going to bounce very hard.
Right.
And you're not going to bounce very high. I wouldn't be doing high jumps on the trampoline.
No. It's all short stuff.
All very small stuff. You know, and especially if you're doing more like running in place on the trampoline, it's probably okay.
Okay.
Probably okay. But I would get it checked out because you may be able to get that under control with somebody who knows how to do the therapy.
I'll look it up. I'll look up the Cox.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Yeah. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Yep.
You look good. Yeah, you look, your face
appreciate
is bright.
What? Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but I've noticed as Lynn made mention of, all of a sudden I got these dark lines into my eyes, which I'm not accustomed to.
I'm not seeing it in the light you're in right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You got a good sun glow on your face.
Yeah, I was out shoveling. We had another 8 inches of this heavy, wet snow last night.
Oh, no. We had 90 degrees. I went out running right before this call. 90 degrees today.
Yeah, well, he had 37.
Ouch. Not for me. So was that helpful? It was a good workout. I'm sure it was. That's something you do have to be careful with, you know, with your low back and your disc.
If
you
have
a brace, like a back brace for when you're doing anything heavy, can be helpful. Right. Yeah.
Is there anything that can be done for a tear in a disc?
So typically that's what will happen. It'll be torn. So the disc is like, there's the outer part, which is called the annulus, and the inner part, which is the nucleus. And that outer part is more like a fibrous tissue, like ligaments. And when that tears, then the nucleus can start to pop out. And when that starts to pop out and bulge, that's when it causes pressure against the nerve, right? So can there be anything done? You know, I think that the Cox work helps that a lot. If there's a tear and the bulge is starting to come in, but also the nutrients, right? Manganese and hydroxyproline and proline, you know, the collagen support nutrients. Chondroitin and glucosamine can be helpful there too.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Since it was more of the bone that we were talking about, I was wondering about the attachments, the ligaments.
The ligaments.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas Rich's is more a misalignment of the bone. His
correct.
Bone has gone forward and it's shrunk. It's made that space smaller. And then the nerve gets compressed in there. Whereas yeah. with the disc, they're still there, but there's usually a compression in the space. And then there's a bulge that comes out. And that will press against the nerve.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you use that chart that I gave you in there, you can kind of figure out which level. You said it was L4, L5 versus L5, S1, right?
That's where mine is L5, S1.
His L5, was S1.
L5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth a try. That flexion distraction, I can't say enough about it. The people I've done it with have just had amazing results.
Neat.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Questions or comments? Is this helpful? Useful? Yeah.
I know I shared before, and just again to reiterate the importance of this, there was that one time where I thought I was possibly having a stroke because I was seeing bright lights that like Christmas lights and stuff. And I went to my chiropractor and he, you know, my occiput and everything was just completely out. And it just, there's so many times that we think something else is going on.
Right.
When it's this. And so. Exactly.
That's why that chart is so nice to have, because you can say, oh, I have this pain over here and I'm thinking I have a heart attack, but like my son, I'm driving somewhere and he's driving somewhere. And I was at a seminar and he calls me and I went out and he says, I think I'm having a heart attack. Now this is a 19 year old. He must have been 18 because he was still in high school. He hadn't graduated, 17 or 18 year old. I think I'm having a heart attack, Mom. What are you doing right now? I'm driving, but I'm having a pain in my chest. Like, tell me about your pain in your chest. Well, I said, if you touch it, is it sore? Yeah, it's a little sore. Tell me if you move your arm, does that? So I took him through an exam and then I said, have you been doing anything, you know, where you're heavy lifting or anything unusual? He goes, No. Oh, yeah. I took my lifeguard test this morning and I had to tread water for whatever, some number of minutes holding up a chair. I'm like, yeah, I think that might. Don't worry, it's not your heart. But that's how, like, you differentiate, right? So if you are having a pain in your chest somewhere, you know, if it's on the left side, you may think. It's on the right side, you're not going to think it's your heart unless you don't know anatomy. But if it is on the left side, you're going, oh, what is that, right? So you just start moving. Oh, that makes it worse. Oh, that makes it better. Not likely to be your heart. right? Because it's adapted by the movement, right? So those are kinds of things you can tell. Make sense? So don't freak out when you have little aches and pains. What are you making, Donna? She's making food. I just want to know what Donna's making. Whoops, say it again.
It's a protein smoothie for my son.
Oh, cool.
And it has protein powder, greens, cacao, a tiny, tiny pinch of monk fruit, banana, a little bit of peanut butter. That's his dinner.
Good mom, yay. I love it. I love it. Do it while you can. Yeah. So everybody doing okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Good. So, you know, the thing right now is that I love that we have these calls, and we love that we can come together in community, and we can be the voice of reason, because there's a lot of fear and panic out there. And I don't know about you, but every email I open these days has got something about coronavirus. And I think it's a little over the top, right? I think we need to just take practical strategies, but you know, we already know what to do, right? Everything I've been teaching you this whole year, two, three, whatever you've been with me in ERC is the stuff that supports your immune system. And so you step it up a notch. Like, you don't normally see me sitting here going, oh, oh, oh. You know, you just take extra steps. Let's just spray wherever we can. Let's just get our nutrients in. Be extra careful, like Donna serving her son a protein smoothie, right? For dinner, right? Do what you know how to do. Just step it up a notch, right? Be more vigilant about it. Okay. So I did want to show you guys, I'm going to stop the recording on this so we can make it a separate recording. Let's see. Where is my stop recording?